But there is a distinction, I think, in the Congress today between those issues on which members are expected, particularly in the House, to follow their party leadership. That usually involves things like procedural votes, motions that bring legislation to the floor, the support for the rules, and the most binding vote of all, the only one that really is a binding vote, is when at the beginning of the session you vote for Speaker. That sort of defines, actually, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Nothing wrong with voting for either candidate. The Republicans put up Bob Michael, or at the time, I think it was John Rhodes, and the Democrats put up John McCormick. And if you were a Republican, you call out, when they elect the Speaker, Rhodes. And if you're a Democrat, you call out McCormick. We had a member when Bob was majority leader.
Minority leader.
Should have been majority leader. If there were going to be a change, it should have been Speaker. But anyway, he told me he couldn't vote for Tip O'Neill. He said, I come from part of the country where Tip is not very popular, and he supports issues I don't particularly support. I'm a conservative from the South. And he said, I'm going to vote for Bob Michael. And I said, well, you can do that. You're free to do that. But let me give you some advice. If I were you, I'd go over and see Billy Pitts and ask if he can make an appointment with Bob so that you can arrange to become a Republican. And Bob can give you some possible means of getting on a committee as a Republican. He said, I'm not going to become a Republican. I said, well, you're going to become a Republican or a foundling, because the moment you vote against Tip O'Neill, you will be out of the Democratic caucus and you'll no longer be a Democrat. And that's the same too today. If Speaker Hastert, when he is elected, members of Congress shout out Hastert or Pelosi. And if a Republican member voted for Pelosi, he wouldn't be a Republican member, and vice versa. So that's the only thing, voting for that and voting for the rules, is really an ironclad party line vote. But
I think that gentleman back in those days was Al Watson, I think, from South Carolina, wasn't it?
There were a couple of people who had supported presidential candidate Barry Goldwater. And they had openly endorsed him. They didn't violate the rule of voting for the wrong name for Speaker, but they did lend their names and were openly involved in the campaign for Barry Goldwater. By the way, somebody I came to admire a lot later in my congressional career, but it was considered treasonous. So they were promptly bounced out of the Democratic caucus. The other one was a member of Congress from Mississippi. And the member of Congress from South Carolina went back home and got reelected as a Republican in a special election, and the member from Mississippi became the governor of Mississippi, Republican governor of Mississippi.